face to face, face to face shall I behold him far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory. I shall see him by and by. Is that going to happen? Absolutely. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. You know, there are some texts of Scripture that we look at, that we read over, that we think about, and they're just so rich, they're just so full with these grand spiritual truths that God delivers to us in his book of love. We are the children of God. Behold, what manner of love. How do you begin to describe that indescribable love of God that has caused him to reach down to you and to me and to all those that will respond, to all those that would heed, be obedient to his word? And what has he done for you and me? He has bestowed his love upon us in calling us the children of God, his children, his family. And that's what we are here. What ought we to be? Well, while I don't want to spend all of my time in discussing this, we ought to be the very best children that we can. I hope you not only recognize that, but I hope that is both your prayer and your ambition. We're to be the very best congregation of God's children that we can possibly be. We're to be the very best individual children of God, with no thought, without any kind of concept of saying, well, just let others do that. Let others do the spiritual work in the kingdom. Oh, no, that is not that which would become us as the children of God. All of us taking part here at Courthouse, all of us not only doing our part, but desirous of doing our part. Why? Why? So we can brag to others, so that we can talk to our brethren and say, oh, look what we're doing. Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it, because what manner of love God has bestowed upon us. But embedded in this wonderful passage of Scripture is this great thought. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Talking, or rather listening to a conversation the other night, and the man was trying to tell us, what are we going to be? Oh, no. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But this is something we know. When he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Based on these thoughts, perhaps, when the songwriter sat down and wrote these beautiful words of this hymn, face to face with Christ my Savior, we're going to see the Heavenly Father. We're going to see His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful. What kind of words can we use to describe what that is going to be? We shall be like Him. How can that come about? How can that be? Well, I think that it is very vital that we observe that it is indeed only by the love and the mercy of God that He has bestowed upon us. This is God's eternal plan for us. After this life is over, after your life is past, after this world vanishes away, there is coming that great day through the love and through the mercy of God. You know that old, well-worn passage of Scripture. God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son. Those who believe may have eternal life. It's correct to say, we can't do it on our own. With all of the willpower, with all of the desire that I might have or that you might have, I cannot come to that moment of time when I'm going to be face to face with Jesus my Savior. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps, is what the prophet of old tells us. When that rich young ruler that was brought to our mind asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus talked with that young man and gave him the requirement, and that young man went away so sad, no matter how much he desired that eternal life, he was not willing to pay the price. And that created such anxiety, apparently, on the part of the 12, that Peter asks in such a worried voice, "Who then can be saved? Who is going to be able to stand face to face with our Savior?" With men, it's utterly impossible. I tell you, dear friends, this great text that we have just read, the love of God that we would be called His children, God's plan that while we do not know what we will be like Him when He appears. It is all made possible through God Himself that brings it about. How many times have you heard that? I think it is a fitting thought for the very beginning of our lesson. But do you know what some people do with this? The love of God, the mercy of God, the sending of His Son to die for us? Oh, there's a tragedy that is involved here. What am I talking about? Well, there are so many of our religious friends, and truly, I weep for them. There are so many of our religious friends, having heard about the love and the mercy of God and all that He did in order to make salvation possible for us, what do they do? Well, it is just as if, though, in this gesture, folding the hands and concluding, "Well, God did everything for us, didn't He?" Oh, if you're talking about the divine part, He did. He just did everything that made it possible. But you know, you and I have a part in this matter of seeing Jesus face to face. Oh, I realized at the judgment day, everybody, obedient and disobedient, believer and unbeliever, evil and righteous, Oh, everybody is going to appear before that judgment throne of God. But in the favored position of being able to see our Lord as is described here, you're not going to obtain that wonderful prize unless you do something. Unless you do something. And that's what we want to teach over and over again. What do we have to do in order for that time when we will see Christ face to face? Well, you have to clothe yourself with Christ while you're here on earth. Over in Galatians, the third chapter, maybe you know this passage of Scripture very, very well, but it is an important chapter in telling us what is necessary for us to eventually see our Lord face to face. We have to put Him on in this life. So verses 26 and 27 of Galatians, the third chapter, here on earth, you can become these children of God. We are all, you are all, Paul says, you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now, what does that phrase mean? As many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. I love what the New American Standard Translation very correctly does with these Greek words, you put on Christ. What does it say? You have clothed yourself with Christ. Oh, I remember the old illustration that the old preachers used to use. At this time, they'd take off their jacket. I'm not going to do that. But they would stand over on this side, and they would say, all right, now, I don't have my jacket on, but a cold wind begins to blow. What do I need to do? Well, not just think about putting on my coat, not just think about putting on my jacket. So then they would walk over to this side, and what would they do? They'd put on those jackets. They would put on those coats. It illustrated so very well what it means. Do you know what is the condition of those who are not the children of God? They're unclothed. They're unclothed. According to this passage, there was a time in our lives when we had never put on Christ, when we had never clothed ourselves with Christ. But you know you can do that. What preparation, what is necessary? Oh, we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And dear friends, as the Scripture urges you, you let that faith motivate you. Don't just sit in your seat and say, oh yes, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ. Hey, that faith has got to get you up and move you. In this case, it has to move you where you say, I want to do what Jesus tells me to do. I want to put Him on. I want to clothe myself with Christ in this life. Can you imagine yourself standing before our Lord Jesus at the judgment day and have to confess, I never ever put you on in this life? The children of God through faith. You Galatians, people today, for as many of you out there in the audience, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you know what? You clothed yourself with Christ. You've entered a new spiritual dimension. You have come to the place where Christ is with you, and you are with Christ. Somebody says, well, I've been baptized. Well, what were you baptized for? Oh, well, I was baptized into this or that church. That's not what Galatians 3 says. It doesn't say you be baptized in order to put yourself into or clothe yourself with some religious affiliation. Put on Christ in order that you might come to that time when you will see Him face to face. If I am going to have Christ so nearby, if I am going to clothe myself in that relationship with Jesus, there's something else that is necessary. I have to become like Him. I have to be like Jesus. 1 Peter 2. We're not using a lot of scripture this morning hour, but in 1 Peter, the second chapter, there is an urging as we read about that great sacrifice, the death of Jesus on the cross. Verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps to become like Jesus. I think every now and then I like to pause in a lesson and say, dear friends, please, please understand. I'm not up here just to preach a sermon. I'm not doing this because somebody says, Gene, we want you to preach with all of my being. I want to urge you. You are never, ever going to see Jesus face to face and become like Him if you do not make it your pursuit to become like Him in this life. Who are you? Who are you to be? What is to be your pursuit in life? My dear brethren and friends, unless you're able to say to me right now, Gene, what I intend my life to be is to be like Jesus. In everything, in love, compassion, humility, in obedience, in complete trust. Be like Jesus. Determine. It's not the example of somebody here on earth that I'm going to say I want to imitate that person. They may be reflecting Christ, which is good. The supreme example for you. You've put on Christ. You have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, what's your job? You be like Him every day. Not like the world who does not know Him. We've got such a tough assignment. This world is not our home. And do you know what we have to do in order for that wonderful, happy time to come that our text tells us of, to see Jesus face to face? We've got to fall out of love. Fall out of love with what? We've got to fall out of love with this world. Because that was not the only thing that John wrote in this epistle. You look at the earlier chapter, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. You know what? The world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Oh, we correctly spoke last week of the ugly, ugly direction the world is going in. But you know, you don't have to be a part of that world. You don't have to fall in love with what you are seeing depicted on your television screen. You don't have to fall in love with what your classmates are saying or what they are doing or what the folks at work are doing. You don't have to be like the world. We're going to have to come to that place in our mind, in our intellect, in our emotions, in our heart, where we say, I do not love this world. I do not want to make it that part of my life. I am not going to be like people around me James chapter 4. We need this straight Bible talk. James 4, verses 1 through 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. You may spend it on your pleasure. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you really want to go to heaven? Do you? When you talk about heaven, what does that bring to your mind? Well, maybe just a kind of a pipe dream. Probably there is not many people that would say, no, I don't want to go to heaven. But where does it rank in your priorities? This last week, how many days did you think about heaven? You say, oh, Brother Gene, why don't you get real? Don't you know how busy I am? Don't you know how difficult things are in my studies at school and university? Don't you know, as a wife, how much responsibility I've got? Listen, it's not easy to be in my business. When I go to work, I am busy all the time, and after I come home from work, I'm still busy. You know what? You and I had better get busy and really determine what we want out of life and what we want to happen when we're no longer here in this life. Have you thought about that? I want to go to heaven. Oh, yes. How much? How much do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven enough to where you've confessed that you believe Jesus is the Christ? Oh, it's not going to work for you to say, "Gene, I'm too shy." Or, "Everybody knows I believe in Jesus. Look, I'm here at church today." If you do not confess Jesus before men, He's not going to confess you before the Father. You're not going to be like Him. He won't have anything to do with you. He'll say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Oh, you know, I don't want that to happen to you. What's your goal? Going on vacation? Having time off from work, being able to get a raise in pay, being able to get a bonus, being able to have, some kind of pleasurable activities. You're not going to get to heaven unless that's what you want more than anything else. You're not going to see the Lord face to face and become like Him unless that is above all. Our citizenship is in heaven. From hence, where we look for a Savior, Christ the Lord. He's going to change our vile bodies into the likeness of His glorious body. There's no higher goal for you. There's no higher thing to obtain. Don't put it off. Please don't do that. There are some of you in the audience that have not yet rendered obedience to the gospel. I don't know why you are hesitating, but I know what God bids you do. You step out this morning as we sing this good song. You say, "I want these folks to know that I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I've determined I'm going to turn away from the devil. I'm going to turn away from love of the world. I want to be baptized so I can clothe myself with Christ, so I can imitate Him." Listen, friends, you don't have a higher goal than to do that. If you've fallen away, come on back to the Lord. Let's stand and sing and encourage one another.